Hi, welcome to Managing AML. I'm Dr. Brian Jonas, Associate Professor at the University of California, Davis. Today I'll be discussing new uses for hypomethylating agents in AML and MDS. Let's begin. First, these are my disclosures. So the objectives of the talk today are fourfold. We want to see how HMA are utilized as part of low-intensity therapeutic strategies in those unfit for intensive chemotherapy, investigate the role of HMAs in combination with BCL2 inhibitors and small molecule targeted therapies, explore the role of HMAs in maintenance therapy for AML, and incorporate novel oral HMA into standard practice where appropriate. So first I'm going to discuss the azacitidine plus venetoclax combination. This is the VIALE-A trial, which led to the approval of this combination for patients with AML and ineligible for induction. And the main eligibility for this study was patients who are 75 or older with newly diagnosed AML, or those who are ineligible for induction chemotherapy, which were based on the old Ferrara criteria with some modifications. So you can see there on the left, including cardiac, lung, and other abnormalities, including ECOG. Patients were randomized 2-to-1 to get azacitidine venetoclax versus placebo azacitidine, and the primary endpoint was overall survival with a number of other secondary endpoints, including response rates. And here's the primary endpoint, which is overall survival. So the study met this primary endpoint with azavenetoclax improving overall survival compared to azacitidine placebo. The hazard ratio is 0.66, which was significant. The median survival was 14.7 months for azaven versus 9.6 months for azaplacebo. Some other endpoints are shown here, summarized here on the slide, including duration of remission, which was longer in the azavenetoclax arm at 17.5 months compared to the azaplacebo arm. In terms of safety, there was more hematologic toxicity, including neutropenia, febrile neutropenia, with the azavenetoclax combo, as well as some mild GI toxicity. In terms of response rates, you can see on the left side there, the CR/CRI rate was 66.4% for the azavenetoclax arm. And what's interesting about this combination is, you can see on the right, is it's pretty active in all these different subgroups of AML. So whether or not the patients have intermediate or poor risk cytogenetics, de novo or secondary disease, or a number of molecular mutations such as IDH1-2, FLT3, NPM1, and TP53. You can see the azacitidine activity is robust across the board. Now, in terms of the median time to response, the azavenetoclax combination had a median time to CR/CRI of 1.3 months. Now, I bring this slide up, which is actually data from the phase 1b trial, which also looked at decitabine plus venetoclax. And on the left there, you can see with the purple label, the CR plus CRI rate for decitabine plus venetoclax on the phase 1b trial was 74%. Now, similar to the data I just showed you for VIALE-A, you can see the on the right there that the responses are robust across all the same subcategories of AML, both for azacitidine combos and for decitabine venetoclax combos. You can see the azacitidine combos are in blue and the decitabine combos are in green. And so this activity is very similar between azacitidine venetoclax and decitabine venetoclax. In terms of survival and duration of remission, this is also data from that phase 1b trial. What I wanted to point out here was the overall survival shown on the left side is similar to the azavenetoclax arm to the decitabine venetoclax arm. And on the right side, which is duration of remission, also similar outcomes for the AZA combo versus the decitabine combo. Now going back to the VIALE-A trial, which again was the phase 3 study looking at AZA venetoclax versus AZA plus placebo, we recently reported an analysis of MRD responses and outcomes at ASCO and EHA this year. On the left, you can see that 23% of patients on the VIALE-A study AZA ven arm achieved MRD negativity. And in the middle column, you can see that the duration of remission was much longer for patients with MRD negativity compared to those that did not have MRD negativity. And on the right, the overall survival curves also show longer survival for patients who are MRD negative versus MRD positive. Now, these were not powered to formally evaluate the differences between the two, which is why there's not a formal statistical comparison. In terms of the timing of MRD response, another thing I thought was interesting about this data was that 25% of patients achieved the MRD negative response after cycle one, And basically, the other 75% was afterwards. So another 25% or so after cycle 4, another 25% or so after cycle 7, and the remaining 20 to 25% afterwards. The other thing that was interesting was that there was no impact on overall survival for a later achievement of MRD negativity compared to an earlier achievement of that endpoint. So another question that comes up is, can we take patients on azacitidine venetoclax or decitabine venetoclax or low-dose cytarabine venetoclax combinations to transplant? And this was analysis from a pooled data from the phase 1 trials of both the one that I was showing, the venetoclax HMA, as well as the venetoclax LODAC trial, and was presented by Dr. Pratz et al. At ASH now almost 2 years ago. And in this analysis, they found that 10% of patients on these phase 1 trials went to transplant. The median time on study drug before transplant was 3.7 months. What was interesting was 68% of patients remained alive at 12 months post-transplant. 55% of patients had a post-transplant remission of greater than or equal to 12 months, and 71% of those were more than 2 years. So this data suggests that taking patients to transplant is feasible with these venetoclax-based combinations. Okay, so moving to other HMA combinations that are beginning to be reported. This one is not yet approved by the FDA. So this is enasinidib, which is an IDH2 inhibitor, plus azacitidine versus azacitidine for treatment-naive IDH2-mutated AML. Ineligible for induction. It was just published in the journal Lancet Oncology by DiNardo et al. And in this study, the azacitidine plus enasinidib arm, which you can see on the left of the table, had an increased overall response rate and CR rate and CR/CRh rate compared to azacitidine alone. All of those were statistically significant. There was also a shorter time to first response, and a longer duration of response and a longer duration of complete remission, which you can see also there on the left side of the table. Now, the event-free survival, which is shown on the curve to the right, was longer with the enasinidib azacitidine combination, although this did not reach statistical significance. And the overall survival was similar between the two arms. Now, ivosidenib, which is the IDH1 inhibitor, has also been studied in combination with azacitidine for treatment-naive IDH1-mutated AML ineligible for induction. So this was recently published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology, and so this is also a combination that is not FDA-approved. But it does look promising, like the enasinidib combination. So in this case, you can see a relatively small data set of 23 patients, but the CR plus CRh rate was almost 70%. And the median time to this response was 2.8 months, and the median duration of a CR/CRh response was not reached. The CR rate was 61%, which you can see in the next group down. So most of those CR plus CRhs were actually full CRs. The overall response rate, including other endpoints like CRI or MLFS, was 78.3% with this combination. Another combination that's being explored is gilteritinib, which is a FLT3 inhibitor, in combination with azacitidine. And here's preliminary data from the LACE-WING trial. This is a phase 3 trial of gilteritinib plus azacitidine, or azacitidine alone for treatment-naive FLT3-mutated AML unfit for induction. This was reported by Eunice Wang at ASH in 2020, and updates are expected probably this year. This is the safety cohort of 15 patients that were treated with gilteritinib plus azacitidine. So none of this is comparative data. This is just the gilt plus aza arm. And you can see there the swim lane plot on the right. Overall, the CRc rate was 67%, and 33% was achieved a full CR. The median duration of CRc was 10.4 months. And the most common AEs were hematologic. So this showing some preliminary promise with the safety cohort. And I apologize for the busy slide, but there's a number of other novel HMA combinations in development. Magrolimab, which is an anti-CD47 antibody plus azacitidine. Eprenatapopt, which is also known as APR246, and I hope I didn't mispronounce that, plus azacitidine. Sabatolimab, which is an anti-TIM3 antibody plus decitabine. pevonedistat, which is a NED8 activating enzyme inhibitor, plus azacitidine. And these are being studied mostly in the first line, as you can see there within the second column, in AML, and in some cases in MDS as well. The APR-246 is a P53 stabilizing drug, so this one is only for patients with P53 mutations, which you can see in the second line. So the MAGRO-AZA trial, again, that's a CD47 antibody which blocks this don't eat me signal and leads to destruction of the disease cells through the macrophages and monocytes. And this has an outcome for AML of 64% overall response rate, with a median duration of remission not reached, median overall survival not reached. What's interesting is this compound looks active in P53 mutated AML with a 71% overall response rate, 48% complete remission rate, and a median duration of remission of 9.9 months and median overall survival of 18.9 months. In MDS, where it's also being explored, a 92% overall response rate was seen, including a 50% CR rate. For the APR-246 plus AZA, there was a 88% overall response rate both in AML and MDS with 50 to 60% CR rates and median duration of remissions of about 7 months. So quite promising for that P53 subset. The TIM-3 antibody plus decitabine combination had a 47% response rate in AML and a 61% response rate in MDS. And the PEVO plus AZA combination had a 21.8 months median overall survival compared to 19 with AZA alone, 21 months versus 16.6 months compared to AZA alone for EFS. So these were not significant. However, looking at the MDS subset, the overall response rate was 79% with a 52% CR rate, median overall survival of 23.9 months, and median EFS of 20.2 months. So with appears to be promising in the MDS subset in particular. Now, tempering some of the enthusiasm I just presented were some recent phase 3 HMA combination trial press releases. Now, press releases, of course, are those exact things. They're press releases, so we need to actually see the actual data before we can draw more conclusions. I just wanted to mention these. The AGILE trial, which was had a press release in August of this year. This is the phase 3 trial of Ivo-AZA versus AZA. This study apparently has met its primary endpoint of EFS and secondary endpoints of overall survival and CR rate and overall response rate. So obviously we're eagerly awaiting the actual data from that study. Lacewing had a press release at the end of 2020 that showed that it did not meet its primary endpoint of overall survival. The PANTHER trial, which is PEVO, AZA versus AZA, did not meet its primary endpoint of EFS. And the APR-246 compound, which was discussed late last year as well in a press release, that did not meet its primary endpoint of CR rate. Now, again, I think what's important about these press releases is to hold on to our final judgments until we see the actual data from these trials, either presented at conferences or in the journals, because there may be subgroups that benefit or other data that we can glean from these. Okay, so I wanted to move on now to oral HMA options. So this is the QUASAR-AML-001 trial with maintenance CC486, which is also known as oral azacitidine for AML. And this was an international multicenter placebo-controlled double-blind randomized phase 3 study in many countries and many sites. And basically it took patients with AML in first remission, either CR or CRI, who had had induction chemotherapy plus or minus consolidation, and they had to be ineligible for transplant for whatever reason. And so, and they had to be within 4 months of achieving their CR. So these patients were randomized one-to-one to receive either 14 days per month or per 28 days of CC486, 300 milligrams daily, or placebo for 14 days daily. And the primary endpoint was overall survival, and the secondary endpoints included relapse-free survival, quality of life, and safety. As you can see, patients were basically treated until they either progressed or they couldn't tolerate treatment, and they were followed in the usual way until death or withdrawal consent, study termination, or loss to follow-up. One thing I'll point out is that for patients who did have an increase in blasts to between 5 and 15%, they could actually increase their CC486 to 21 days out of 28 days. Okay, so this study met its primary endpoint of improved overall survival. And so you can see the median overall survival of 24.7 months for the CC486 arm compared to 14.8 months for the placebo arm, an absolute difference of nearly 10 months. This was significant with a hazard ratio of 0.69. Putting it into another way, the one-year survival of CC486 was 73% versus 56% for placebo. At 2 years, 51% versus 37%. In terms of other endpoints, there was a superior relapse-free survival with a median of 10.2 months versus 4.8 months and a hazard ratio of 0.65 that was significant. GI side effects and neutropenia were more common with CC486 and in some cases led to dose modifications or discontinuation. This is an update of new data from the study or subgroup analysis from the same QUASAR trial. This was reported at the European Hematology Association meeting this past June by Dr. Doner et al. And this was looking at the effects of NPM1 mutations and FLT3 ITD mutations in the QUASAR data set. And what they found was that NPM1 mutational status at diagnosis was prognostic for overall survival and relapse-free survival and was predictive of a survival benefit for patients who received CC486 versus placebo. So for patients with NPM1 mutations, you can see the median overall survival of 47.2 months. Now, the presence of a FLT3 mutation at diagnosis had a negative prognostic influence. But in the setting of the NPM1 mutation, you can see the curve on the left, which is the NPM1 mutation plus FLT3 negative, had a median overall survival of 48.6 months. And on the right curves, on the far right curves, I should say, you can see that the NPM1 mutation plus a FLT3 ITD mutation, there was still pretty impressive survival with the combination of the oral azacitidine producing a median overall survival of 46.1 months. So the presence of the NPM1 mutation really imparted a favorable outcome to the patients on this study. And I should point out, sorry, that the CC486 is approved by the FDA for maintenance therapy in AML. This is the other oral HMA, which is the combination of decitabine, cedazuridine, or DUX-C, as some people like to call it, which is approved by the FDA for MDS and CMML. And this was based on the studies I'm going to show you here, including this ASTX-72702 trial. And this is a randomized crossover trial. And I think most people are aware that the IV HMA pose some burdens to patients, especially these are older patients oftentimes, that have to come in 5 to 7 days a month to receive IV therapy. There's also a problem, however, with the oral HMA in that they are degraded by cytidine deaminase, CDA, in the gut and the liver. And so that's why this combination of decitabine-cedazuridine was created, which cedazuridine is a CDA inhibitor. So this allows the decitabine to be absorbed and get into the bloodstream and exert its effect. So here you can see the schema of this ASCERTAIN trial. And basically what patients on this trial were, they had MDS or CMML that were, higher risk, intermediate or higher risk, that were kind of a candidate for standard HMA therapy. And they were randomized to get either oral decitabine, cedazuridine in cycle one, followed by IV in cycle two, or IV in cycle one, followed by oral in cycle two. And then from cycle three onwards, everyone got the oral combination. The primary endpoint here was an interesting primary endpoint, not one you typically see in trials, was actually the total 5-day decitabine area under the curve equivalence. So this primary endpoint is actually a pharmacokinetic primary endpoint. And the study met its primary endpoint. The 5-day decitabine area under the curve equivalence was 99%, with a confidence interval of 93 to 106%. You can see there, summarized above and below in the text. So this basically showed that after 5 days, the amount of decitabine detectable in the blood was more or less the same if you took the IV versus the oral formulation. Now this is the ASTX-72701B trial, also same population of patients, MDS, CMML patients, and here are some more robust response rate data. And you can see the oral decitabine-cedazuridine combination had a CR rate of 21%, a marrow CR rate of 22%, an overall response rate of 60%. And the responses were improved over time. You can see on the right, the time to first response. Many patients needed up to 3 cycles to see their first response. And the time to best response improved over time. We're seeing with later numbers of cycles, 5 or more, you can see there in the red curves. There was a comparable safety between the IV decitabine and the oral decitabine cedazuridine combination. So taken together, these studies show that the equivalent, taking the oral decitabine cedazuridine combination for 5 days led to very similar outcomes to IV decitabine, as well as almost identical amounts of decitabine in the blood. Therefore, it was approved as a potential treatment option for patients with MDS and CMML. So another busy slide, but that's because there's so much to do now. So there's a lot of future directions to think about. I think one of the things that are being examined pretty aggressively right now is triplet regimens for the treatment of naive AML unfit for induction. And these are based on a backbone of HMA venetoclax with an addition of a third drug. So there's a number of trials out there right now. Basically, all those promising new drugs are being tested in these combinations. I've laid them all out here. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. There's additional triplet trials with other promising drugs that are being explored. If you spend a few minutes on clinicaltrials.gov, you can find a lot of these other trials. But these are just a few to highlight. So, for example, ivosidenib, gilteritinib, magrolimab, pevonedistat, uproleselan, which is an E-selectin inhibitor, sabatolimab, which is an anti-TIM-3 antibody, as I mentioned before. All these are being evaluated as triplets. There's also, of course, evaluation of doublet therapies, HMA venetoclax, with substitution of the oral HMA for treatment-naive AML patients unfit for induction. So CC486 has a version of that, as well as decitabine cedazuridine. Because right now, it's not really feasible, in my opinion at least, to substitute the oral HMA for the IV HMA that you would normally use in these combinations. I think these trials are very important to show that the oral formulations produce equivalent outcomes and safety in the setting of these venetoclax combinations. So to summarize, the standard of care for AML and MDS and uses of HMA are evolving, I would say, rapidly. HMA plus venetoclax is a standard of care for those unfit for intensive chemotherapy. CC486, or azacitidine, is a maintenance option that's approved for AML. Oral decitabine cedazuridine combinations is also an option for treatment of intermediate or higher risk MDS and CMML approved by the FDA for this indication. And of course, clinical trials continue to advance new therapeutic approaches, including novel HMA combinations, HMA venetoclax triplets, and oral HMA venetoclax doublets, among others. And to close, I wanted to thank everyone for viewing this activity and for the opportunity to present.